everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode, and today I'm pleased to welcome Jeremy Yuan as my special guest. Now, Jeremy is an electrical engineer for Raytheon, where he's been for 17 years. He's married to Larissa, and together they have three daughters, Melody, Nikki, and Cammy. Here at Catalyst, Jeremy's a part of worship teams. He's on the small group leadership team with Dale DeGucci, and he's one of the organizers for Game Time during Catalyst retreats. And with that, Jeremy, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great. I'm as we talked about, I'm so excited to finally have you on here after about a month?
Yeah. A month of prep and maybe a couple months of talking about it.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. And I just thought I'd ask you, so what is it about helping to organize games for people that draws you in?
Well, I think it starts with an idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of times it's humor based.
Yeah.
And I want, you know, things I want people to do for points.
Yeah.
and then luckily I have Larissa. And so she reins my ideas in and makes them feasible or makes them not so wacky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then that's how a lot of these retreat games are born.
Okay, so we're when we see the games at the retreats, we're seeing the toned down version.
Yeah. It's like revision number 7 or 8.
Yeah. Oh wow, that many, huh? So speaking of games, what games did you love growing up?
So we played a lot of Monopoly.
Oh yeah.
Which actually is a terrible game.
Why is that because you're on the losing end or
no, you know, it's just like a greed based game the goal is to bankrupt the rest of the players, you know.
It's right.
You know, morally not the greatest.
Yeah.
But yeah, we played a lot of Monopoly, a lot of card games.
Yeah.
Big Two, Old Maid, Big Fish. Go Fish.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so here's a side question. You play keyboards on the worship team. Tell me how you got started playing piano or playing keyboards growing up.
So I come from a musical family.
Oh, okay.
And so I think when I turned 5, then my dad was like, okay, we're going to teach you piano. So he was my first piano teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so it sounds like you didn't have a choice in the matter then, huh?
Not really. I think it was the question was probably posed to me like, hey, don't you want to play piano? Wouldn't it be great played piano? And you know, that's how my piano, instrument journey got started.
Yeah. I mean, did you remember how you responded at the time?
I was probably coerced, or convinced that it was a great idea. So at 5, I started. And then I think they quickly realized that my dad couldn't teach me because he was too soft. And then, they found
too soft, as in he would let you get away with practicing.
So then they found me real teachers professional teachers.
And that's great. Okay. So I don't know why, but I felt compelled to ask you this. And here's my last question before we jump into your testimonies. Have you ever serenaded Larissa with a song?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling about that. So
it's how I proposed.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to share that story.
Yeah. So I was getting ready to propose. I had the ring, you know, asked for permission from her parents, all that, had all the ducks lined up.
Well, yeah.
And then, so it was packaged like it was going to be a song for her birthday. So I invite her over and then I gave her like the lyrics that I was going to sing to her. Huh. And at the end it was like a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right. So, but at the end, instead of saying happy birthday, I said, will you marry me?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So that, I mean, completely surprised and shocked on.
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, I think so. I think when we were dating, right, she was like, I want to be surprised. I never want to know. Right.
Okay.
I don't want to know that it's coming. Wow. Right. So I want to be surprised. So then I made a lot of effort to conceal my intent.
Wow. Now, when you are singing the song to her, are other people in the room?
No. I can't do that. Well, at the time, okay. I couldn't do it. Yeah, yeah. So it was just me and her.
Yeah. Okay. So the song you ended up singing, it was just an original song that you created?
Yeah. I created, and then I think I played the ukulele.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I think
talented.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, it's not anything past like those, what are the four chords for every guitar, like G?
Oh yeah,
D,
yeah,
E minor,
G, C,
so yeah, something
D,
like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. That must have been really touching for Larissa.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, you know, she likes surprises, and she got one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And obviously, she said yes because you guys are together. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we are, 12 years later.
12 years. Wow. Yeah. That's congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, speaking of Larissa, one of the very significant events in your life was meeting Larissa. So I wondered if you can start by talking about how you first met and about the friend of yours who helped get both of you connected.
Sure. So at the time, I was going to another church, and one of the people I was going to church with, he was an optometrist, and Larissa happened to be, I think, working a part-time job for him. And so he thought, hey, you guys would make a great match. And so he set us up, and and then we met and went on a couple dates and got to know each other. And
And I think you said your first date was a small group.
Oh, gathering. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to like 1,000% commit. Right. So there, I invited her to a small group gathering from my church. And so it was a group gathering. So if the interest wasn't there or anything, then it's okay, you know, see you later or see you never.
Yeah. So at this small group gathering, do you make an attempt to sit next to her?
You know, I don't, probably not. I think I was trying to play it too cool. Honestly, it probably came off as like weird because she didn't know anybody else, just me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I asked that question because, you know, for me, one of the first times I got to know Yanni, my wife Yanni, we had a small group dinner, and she always reflects back on the fact that I staked out the seat right next to where she was sitting. I mean, she says, yeah, you intentionally did that, didn't you? I said, yeah, you bet. So I think you said then later you went on a date, you went on a dinner and went for dinner and a movie, didn't you?
Yeah. So our first date, we went to Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we watched Disney's Bolt.
Okay. Yeah, it's. What do you remember about that evening?
I think that. Okay, so I think the date went well.
Yeah.
I think dinner was good. The movie was fine, but I think you could ask Larissa, but I think I think the date probably ended more awkward than I thought it did, right? I just kind of said, okay, good night.
Yeah. Okay, so awkward for you or awkward for her? Or
I think more awkward for her. I think in my mind, I thought it was probably okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think for looking back in hindsight for me, right, I look back and man, I probably could have done so many things differently.
What's maybe one example of something you would have done differently?
Well, I think for that particular date, right? I think we just, it was just like, okay, see you later. And then there was no,
like some kind of spark or
I think the spark was there, I think, but right on my end, there was like no follow up or anything, right? Like,
When's
the next time we're going to
you
know, go out or whatever. It was
forward
just
to keeping
like,
in touch, yeah, or I'll give you a call next time.
Yeah. And then in the moment, I thought I was just being super cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then how did the next encounter happen then? Was it you reaching out to her finally, coming to your senses?
You know, I'd like to think that, but it was probably just as bad. And then it's like, a small miracle of Christ that she stuck with me because, you know, she probably could have moved on and been okay.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah, you're humble.
Yeah.
I just think it's so ironic that your friend who is an optometrist, who is making, you know, trying to make sure you have good eyesight, would point your eyes to Larissa.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double meaning type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so you had left your previous church, and you were now, I think, a visiting Catalyst Christian community, and your first retreat with Catalyst was coming up, and so I wondered if you can talk about that.
So we got married in 2012, and then at first we were visiting or attending both churches, my old church and also Catalyst.
Yeah.
And at some point, Larissa had the ultimatum, you know, we should probably commit to just one. Mm-hmm. And so out of faith, I think I said, okay, well, we'll commit to Catalyst. Even though I was leaving like all my old friends, you know, the whole community that I had at my old church, I said, okay, we're going to uproot myself, and then we'll commit to Catalyst. So I think that's 2012. So 2015 was the first, retreat that we were going to attend. Mm-hmm. And I think I went in with like bright eyes, right? Like, yes, you know, I'm going to make a very concerted effort to make friends, yeah, right? Establish connections, relationships,
yeah,
all that stuff. And then the retreat started, and then they broke us up into small groups. same gender small groups. And so my small groups, the names were mentioned. And then so I went up to the two guys in the small group. I was really excited to establish a connection.
Yeah.
And then they just up and left. I don't know if they left the building or what, but they just left together and went and did something else. And I don't know if they ever participated in the small group stuff ever again. I was left alone, and I was kind of,
discouraged.
Yeah. So luckily, I think nearby Mike Namba, uh-huh, he was like, oh, you can join ours. And then so I joined their small group. Yeah. And that was good.
I mean, you know, I think you were saying that once you joined Mike's group, that led to meeting some other people. I think you mentioned a bowling
event. Yeah. So back then, the whole retreat would go bowling, right?
Yeah.
So we had met another couple, and they said, oh, you should bowl with us, bowl in our lane. And so we said, sure. And then we bowled with them. And then so fast forward a little bit after the retreat, then they reached out again, and they said, oh, they're starting a, I guess at the time, young married couples small group, would we like to join?
Okay.
And we said, sure. And so that kind of like jump started my, you know, journey in Catalyst to, you know, establishing connections, making friends.
Yeah.
Within this small group that started in, I think, late 2015, early 2016.
Yeah. Let me just back up because, you know, I kind of feel like I went a little too fast. You know, you're at this retreat and then you have this disappointment of, you know, your small group kind of just leaving you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I could see where that could be not necessarily backbreaking, but, you know, it could lead you to say, gosh, you know, do I really want to be a part of this fellowship here? I'm just wondering what was the value of having, you know, obviously, you know, Mike must have saw that, hey, here's a young man that doesn't have a home here, you know. Just talk to the, you know, the value of him seeing you and then kind of inviting you in and what impact that had.
So it was I think it was like a quick audible to kind of join into his small group, which was good.
Yeah.
I wasn't small group lists for very long at that retreat.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to participate in that sense, and not just kind of be an orphan.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. And I think through that retreat and being able to meet certain people, right? And then just the path that I took within that retreat kind of like led to where I am now at Catalyst.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you what has been the impact, because you said you found the young marrieds small group, and what the impact has been of just being a part of that group.
It was nice to kind of be part of a like community. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And we, I think back then we met every week.
Yeah.
Right. So it was very, very intentional. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We met every week, and it was good. Right. To be part of a small group and to be very right, Christ-centered, right, mm-hmm. within the church. So it was good.
Yeah.
It still is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so fast forwarding a year to January 2016, and we'll call this section Starting a Family. you and Larissa now want to start a family, and I wondered if you can talk about that experience, that situation that you were in and what happened.
Sure. So... So we were trying to start a family, and then so we ended up going to a fertility clinic and seeing a doctor, and you know we got tested and all that, and they, you know, they confirmed that that we were both carriers for alpha thalassemia, right, which is kind of so that puts it at like a 25% chance that if we conceive that the baby would not make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then we opted to go through IVF.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at first I think we felt like, I don't know, almost alone maybe in that journey. But then... And then actually, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, alone in the sense that there weren't other people going down that route.
Right. Kind of isolated, or you know, just kind of like, how come, you know, we couldn't, you know, do this all naturally.
Right.
But then actually through the small group that we had just joined and just started, there was another couple in there that was going through the exact same thing. I think they were just maybe a couple months ahead of us.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow, that's good. So you feel like they could kind of counsel with you or
yeah,
give
yeah.
you advice
yeah,
or
to get that kind of
walk together?
Yeah, yeah. And it was really such a blessing yeah. to be able to walk,
yeah.
you know, side by side with them in this whole journey,
yeah.
right? So we didn't feel alone.
Yeah.
And then...
Now, I'm just curious, did Jeremy and Larissa, when you were presented with the idea of going down the road of IVF, were you on... all in from the beginning, or was it something you had to think about for a while? I'm just curious how that came about.
I think we were pretty on board.
Okay.
From the beginning.
Right from the start. Yeah,
from the start. And then with the caveat that this whole thing, right, this whole journey, it's not guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
right? The mm-hmm. all the procedures, nothing's guaranteed. I think they gave us... the clinic we were at, they gave us a 70% success rate.
Okay.
Which is, you know, better than a coin flip.
Yeah. better than 25%
yeah,
too. Huh?
Yeah. 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 but yeah, so I think we did a lot of praying, right. And giving
yeah.
a lot of this whole journey and the whole process up to the Lord. Cause right. I think we both had to come to a point where we were okay. Right. If, mm-hmm. if at the end of this, right at the end of all this trying, that nothing came mm-hmm. of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily,
did you ever get to that point where you felt like you were able to give it up to God and whatever outcome would you were?
Yeah, yeah. I think Larissa and I we both prayed and got to that point. luckily for us, we had, at the end of the process, we had, I think, 3 viable embryos.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
through the process of these past couple of years, implantation, all that has been successful.
Yeah.
And so we've, you know, gone 3 for 3 and we've...
And those are your 3 daughters.
Yeah, 3 beautiful girls, yeah.
yeah. I wanted to ask you for those that are... maybe experiencing challenging situations, and it doesn't have to be exactly the challenges that you and Larissa went through in this, but I, what maybe words of encouragement or takeaways for you personally that you would have for the listeners?
Yeah, so I think the words or encouragement that I would have is that You're not alone in this journey. There's, you know, yes. a lot of us that have gone through it or are going through it in the process of it within actually just our church,
yes.
right? You
yes.
know, and to never lose faith in the absolute power and absolute the absoluteness of our God.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you just shared that, Jeremy, scripture came to mind, Jeremiah 32:27 in the NIV that says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me?" And to your point of serving an all-powerful God. And, you know, you also mentioned the support, you know, having people around you that were going through the same thing. I'm just curious what the value was your, do you feel like your small group was also important during this time for both of you as well? And I'm just wondering what the impact of that.
The small group was very helpful, very supportive as we went through this journey and also the other couple too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was great to have that kind of support group that walked along us the whole way.
Yeah, I think you really underscore the value of small groups, and you know, just to put a plug in for for our listeners, you know that if you're not part of a small group, to consider that you know, and I just wanted to quote another scripture, Hebrews 10. 10, 24, and 25 in the NIV. Very, very popular scripture. Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And just see where you really had that support and connection with others, huh? Yeah. One other scripture, because you know Pastor Barry talked about this the other month, but Ecclesiastes 4:12 in the New King James Version, where he talked about a threefold cord, not quickly broken. I'll just read the whole scripture. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so, you know, you had also talked about the fact that about God's plan, having faith in God's plan, and what have you come to, I don't know, discover or see about God's plan in all this?
I think that God has a plan for all of us.
Yeah.
And then along with God's plan is also God's timing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I think it was his perfect timing that we would kind of join this young married couple small group from the beginning in 2015. How we would walk alongside each other and then kind of evolve into a young married couples with children. young babies, small group, and now we just dropped the young. We're just married couples with children.
You guys are still young.
with a small group, you know, I think approaching 9, almost 10 years together, which is awesome. I think is a testament in itself, and I think. Yeah, I think us, you know, being a small group and being very Christ-centric, and also I think being willing to just be completely open and transparent with each other, right? Like not just the joys, but also the tough times too, to be able to support each other, you know, through Christ.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you talked about having faith in God's plan for you. And so many scriptures came to mind as you were sharing, you know, sharing your testimony. And Proverbs 16:9 in the NIV came to mind. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And to your point about God's timing, I just love Isaiah 49:8, the first part of verse 8 in the New Living Translation, that says, "At just the right time, I will respond to you." And of course, he's regarding the restoration of Israel. But I just thought that was so appropriate what you said about relying on God's timing and having peace in that. So that's so awesome. Well, you know, I used to remember when I was your age.
Not too long ago.
Thank you. You're gracious. But I remember thinking at that time, you know, yeah, we're getting up there in age, you know, having kids. And now that I'm the age I am, I'm thinking, boy, that you're young.
Perspective.
It's all perspective, isn't it? Yeah. That's so awesome. Okay, so what, now that you have, you know, three beautiful daughters, what is that to wake up? What is that like to wake up in the morning or go to sleep at night with your three beautiful daughters there? And I know you're laughing, so we'll have to hear the whole thing.
So I think what do they say? They say the days are long, but the years are short. And I think that's very true, right? On the day to day, right? It's kind of, you know, trying to get them all to, you know, take a bath, go to sleep, at a reasonable time, right? Or you make sure they eat their food,
right?
Eat all their food so they're not asking for a snack 30 seconds later, right? It's a lot of very, you know, small tasks that have to, you know, as a parent, you have to accomplish on the day to day. But then you look back and it's like, wow, you know, Melody's going to be 7 on Sunday.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Seven, you know, she's going to be 7 and then Nikki's going to be 5 in a couple months.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, you look back and you really, I feel like as parents, you really do look back with rose tinted glasses because otherwise nobody would have more than one kid.
Right. yeah, that's funny because you were just telling me this morning about the toys, right?
Saying? You know, there's toys and there's toys that nobody has ever played with,
right?
But then
right.
one of them picks them up, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey,
there's an instant
yeah,
interest.
Yeah, everyone wants to play with that one toy that nobody touched a minute ago.
Yeah, and what was that other one you were telling me about them? Yeah, getting the same toy, but wanting the other person's, even though it's exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. So for a while, when we just had two girls, my mother-in-law, her solution was to buy two of the same toy.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, like, there's two cash registers, there's two, you know, of a lot of things. And but even then, right, one of the girls would play with one of the cash registers and the other one would want to play with the same one. It's like these are literally the same. They're exactly the same. They operate exactly the same. They make the same noises.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, it's just, it's a mentality thing, right? They want what the other one has.
Right. And right.
I think that's just, you know, a product of their current age, you know, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's funny.
Yeah. So, Another scripture and Psalm 127:3. I think that's the longest chapter in the Bible. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. And so I know you mentioned the rose tinted glasses, but do you ever pinch yourself, you know, when you wake up and you see, you know, just the miracle of your three daughters?
Oh
just,
yeah, definitely. You know, I think I see, on a daily basis, God's love through them, because I'll come back, right? A long day of work. I come back, step in the door and they're all so happy to see me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. Okay. So moving on to now we're going to September 2019, and this is now your third Catalyst Retreat. The first one, you're just getting to know people, joining a small group community. And so talk about this third Catalyst Retreat for you, Jeremy, and how it was different than the first one that you went to and what happened.
So at this point, you know, we've had a small group. It's going 4 years strong, something like that, three, four years strong. I myself, right, have like established friends and within the church. And so I entered this retreat. And so this will parallel Brett's Catalyst story too. So at the last worship set, we were worshiping out. I normally am in the back, not very,
engaged,
singing, you know, but you know, not super engaged.
Yeah.
Not as engaged as like Bob.
Yeah.
but I was in the back. I was holding, I think I was holding Nikki. She was asleep and I felt compelled to go to the front, which is something that I would never do. I think at that point I would never do. So I felt compelled to go to the front. And so I did, I walked to the front and I was worshiping. And then the worship team started singing, Another in the Fire.
Yeah.
Right. This is just like Brett. I think it was just like a wave of emotion and the Holy Spirit washing over me. And I was just in tears, like crying. And I don't know why, or at the time I was thinking, I don't know why, because I don't think I ever cry.
Wow.
You know, wow. For yeah. much of anything.
Yeah. It's like the Holy Spirit touching.
Yeah. You yeah. Moment. It was just a overwhelming emotion at the time.
Right. Now, as you look back on it after the fact, can you grasp like what the emotion was? It feeling God's love or just like he's got you covered? What as you reflect back on it?
I think it was all of that, right? Yeah. Just feeling God's love. Yeah. And just being like washed over mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. And just feeling very, yeah, very just comfortable knowing that God is there for me and covering me and holding me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that event change you?
I think it happened, mm-hmm. and then I wanted to experience it more after that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wasn't sure. At the time, I was like, oh, is this just like, right, is it like a byproduct of, you know, being in a retreat setting, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's on like, in like a, what they used to call like a retreat high.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
uh-huh, right. Right, mountaintop
yeah.
experience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, uh-huh. I in the back of my mind, I really wanted to experience that more. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think you also mentioned this sense of joy too, right? In addition to the warmth and the feeling loved.
Yeah, yeah, very, very joyful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, just to, you know, be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So you have that experience, and then fast forwarding, I think you said you had that experience, and then the Catalyst Retreat last year, which was 2023, came. Now, forgive me if I'm jumping too far ahead.
Oh, no, no.
You can let me know if there's something that happened in between there, but I think you have another, you have a request of God in 2023.
Yeah, so 2019 happened, and then in the process, you know, with the pandemic happening in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up on the worship team as a result. I think at first it was like, well, hey Jeremy, you're already here in the Freedom Center helping behind the scenes. Why don't you hop on the keys sometime?
Oh,
I was like, okay, sure.
Okay.
And that was my introduction to the worship team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was that like? Doing the services via online.
Yeah, it was. I think starting off there,
yeah,
was interesting because it was right. We were in like this room where you're recording. We're in this room,
yeah.
Leading worship for the rest of the church in their living rooms, but it was very isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I clearly remember when we first, I think the first step was to have worship in the gym next door with a smaller crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I think you had to sign up. I think it was like like 60 people max or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I remember those days.
But
yeah.
I remember the first time I played in front of a live crowd. It was just, it felt so different,
uh-huh.
right? To kind of have like a worship response. It was different.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing different in a positive way.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have people that can
right,
you can see the responses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. So you have you're now involved in worship, and it seems like your expectation level or your anticipation level has gone up, and then that kind of led into the last year's retreat.
Yeah, so I remember leading up to this past retreat in 2023, I was praying to God and almost like selfishly, right? I said, "Hey, I kind of want to feel what I felt in 2019, right? Where I was just, you know, just like flooded with the Holy Spirit, that same feeling. Yeah. And so that's what I asked God for this retreat. And then, for 2023, I was also part of some of the worship teams. To help lead worship. So I was part of the very first worship set. So this is Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we start the set, and I think the song that we started playing was Holy Forever. So Holy Forever, Marcy was singing, and then, you know, same thing, right? We hit that chorus the first time, and it just, like, it felt like the same, you know, it's very similar wave of emotion, wave of the Holy Spirit washing over me. And but then it's, you know, it's I still got to play. So I was up there, but it just, you know, it was awesome. And then after the fact, after the worship set was done, I felt like I needed to decompress almost, right? Like just kind of sit down and relax. But then I couldn't, because I had to help with the game that they were putting on large group. Wow. And then so
talk about a shift there.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I had to be part of the I think I was part of one of the stations. But then I had so much, like, I was so much energy.
Yeah.
I was bouncing off the walls. I was screaming at everybody. It was screaming, I think, in a positive, you know.
Encouragement, right?
Encouraging way. I would like to think affirmatively screaming at everybody, instructions at everybody.
Yeah.
But it just, it was a very cool feeling to almost like immediately, right, for that prayer request to be answered. At the retreat.
So what was it like this time, having that experience, as you reflect back on it the second time?
I think it being a familiar experience the second time was good, right, to kind of know what to expect. I think it's just this time there was no outlet afterwards. I just had to keep rolling with it, and it just kind of manifested as a lot of outward energy.
It was
good.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I can just see the progression, you know, you sharing the retreat in 2015 till now, and just how far you've come with, you know, helping to lead worship and just that encounters, you know, before it was, like we talked about, it was just getting to know people, but now it's getting to know God on a deeper level. What's possible for you next? Talk about anticipation and expectation.
I'm not sure. And we were joking before this, right? You said, you know, it's nice to have a musician on because they know how to work with mics. And I said, hey, I don't sing.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Because I can't do two things at once. You know, maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
Well, as you were sharing about an all-powerful God, right?
I know, that gave you three beautiful
daughters. So maybe we'll have to put Ross on notice, or Marcy on notice, that you might be available to have a mic in front of you.
I'm super not sure about that, but we'll see.
That's great. Yeah, well, Jeremy, as we start to close our time together, I just first of all want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing a part of your faith journey with the Lord and your life-changing testimonies with us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and pray for our listeners as well. So, yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you led and connected Jeremy to a small group community, which has led to their current group of couples with young children. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless and draw their small group even closer together. And Lord, you just remind us of the importance of meeting together, and specifically meeting to encourage one another towards love and good deeds. That's Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And thank you for that support and for Jeremy and Larissa, how that's been so meaningful just so over the years. And Lord, you also remind us that one might be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, but a threefolded cord is not easily broken. And that's Ecclesiastes 4:12. And Lord, help us to see that we cannot be an island on ourselves, by ourselves, that we need one another. And you encourage us to rely on each other and turn to each other. And so, also thank you, God, for leading Jeremy and Larissa on their journey of parenthood. Thank you for your hand on them throughout the entire process. And finally, thank you for the gift of three beautiful daughters. Thank you that every time Jeremy and Larissa see their daughters, they are reminded of your faithfulness and your awesome power, as Jeremy has said. And Almighty God, remember what you said in Jeremiah when you said, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind, and is anything too difficult, too hard for me?" That's Jeremiah 32:27. And thank you, Holy Spirit, how you showed Jeremy that that through his worship to you and relationship with you, that it can be more than just singing songs or what he reads, but that Jeremy can sense and feel your love and your intimate connection with you, and that that could bring joy in his life and a closeness with you. And it reminds us of Psalm 16:11 that says, "You fill me with joy in your presence." And Jesus, I pray for more of your presence in Jeremy's life. God, we pray for more of your presence in our lives, that we might have greater joy, and that as we seek you, Lord, I pray for a greater release of joy for those even listening right now. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Jeremy's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jeremy. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.